Hello, 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 everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Welcome to Long-Term Care podcast. I am your host, Bilqis Ali. I'm an RN and Certified Director of Nursing and Long-Term Care Administration. I'm also the author of the Welcome to Long-Term Care Planner, as well as the creator of the Welcome to Long-Term Care courses. And last week, I talked about the COVID vaccinations. And so, like I said, I really wanted to follow up with that. And today, I have the pleasure of being on with Kimberly. Kimberly, can you introduce yourself?
Hello. My name is Kim Wesley. I'm a registered nurse here in the Williamsport, Pennsylvania area. I presently work in medical, surgical, and ICU settings.
Great. Awesome. Kim, I thank you so much for taking the time out to join us today. It is such a pleasure. So, you know, we're all talking about COVID. It's the hot topic, but more importantly, these vaccinations. And, you know, the main concern was the, you know, if people were really going to be getting these vaccinations, because there wasn't a lot of concrete information that everyone was saying. Now, not generally the healthcare workers, but for the outsiders, people who are not in the actual healthcare industry.
Right.
So in your hospital setting, have you had like a lot of cases, or were you affected by the virus at all?
Absolutely. Spring, our cases were mostly nursing home cases. In the area where I live, the springtime didn't have a lot of community spread. It was mostly like long-term care settings. There was a nursing home that's very close to our building that there were, I think, over 90 cases. Many of the employees and, of course, the residents. And we received a lot of those patients. Then there was like a little break there. I want to say between, I guess, July and August. We really didn't have very many hospitalized cases where I work. But we did have, like I said, first there was a very close nursing home, and then a nursing home that was about 50 miles from us. However, they became overrun, and National Guard was actually deployed there. And we accepted a lot of those residents as patients up until they could safely return. Like I said, we had a little break there in the summertime, and then cases steadily started returning. Right now, my medical unit has 20 beds. My ICU unit has 4 beds. When I left today, our census was somewhere in the neighborhood of 22 with, 17 of those were COVID positive.
Wow. Yeah, I heard that your area has increased in the rates. And I know from the area that I'm in, when we had it heavy, your county didn't. So I think it's like a shift now. You know, you didn't have it in March, April, May, then you're like really getting hammered right now, which is so unfortunate with the flu season being right now also. So a lot of times those symptoms kind of cross right now. So it's, you know, more doing investigations with trying to identify what virus you actually have. So let's talk about this vaccination. So you got the vaccination. So tell me all about it. How did you decide to get this vaccination? What was your deciding factors?
Sure. So I'll be honest, I was a skeptic. For me, I was initially thinking to myself, so we don't have a long-term study on this, because obviously this is a brand new novel virus, and we don't know, first of all, the long-term effects of what will happen to our bodies if we contract the virus. And then secondly, so, you know, as far as how long have they been able to study the vaccination, it made me uneasy. I went ahead and dove into information as much as I could understand, in any type of a scientific journal, medical study. I consulted friends who are physicians. I heard a lot of opinions, and overwhelmingly, I was hearing a lot of positive. I was hearing, listen, this is exactly what we need to rid ourselves of this lifestyle that we have right now, to minimize and maybe even hopefully someday completely eradicate the risk, just like we did with all of the vaccines for those things that you and I don't see anymore, things that we never had to deal with, you know, polio, smallpox, things like that are completely gone because a vaccine was new to use and people began to use it. I also started to really investigate how the vaccine works. So it's actually a really simple vaccine as far as its ingredients. It doesn't have, people are always concerned about like the preservatives that are in vaccines. Sometimes there's been some now debunked tracing between the preservatives and then possible things like autism, etc. So this vaccine itself has only the mRNA component, which is like the spike protein from the COVID virus itself. The spike protein is what creates the body's response to the virus. So it's kind of like if you catch a cold and your body goes, hey, what's that? You know, and starts sending your immunity defenses to battle it. This is the part that your body will recognize to go, hey, what's that? Let's go send out everything to battle this. And just like every vaccine, that's how you become immune. It just has the spike protein part of the virus. It has some protein buffers to protect it. It has some sugar component to, I guess, not really necessary feed it, but that was the best way I could understand it. And some solvent of like saline. There isn't a whole lot of extra stuff in this because we actually keep it frozen until it's ready to be administered. And then there's a short window of time from the time you thaw it until it expires. So, you know, looking at the parts of the vaccine, looking at the way the vaccine works, I started to feel very confident about it. For myself, I am severely asthmatic. I'm also diabetic. So if I contract this virus, my risk of death is extremely high. So for me, I had to look at the reality, which is we have two choices, really. Eventually, with the way this is spreading, and if you figure out math, eventually, everyone on this planet is going to come in contact with this virus somehow. So the difference is going to be, are we going to have an immune response that's going to help us with that? Or are we going to contract the virus and, you know, kind of roll the dice? What's going to happen if you get it? I decided because I work so heavily with the COVID population, my risk of taking a vaccine whose side effects and things that I had seen that had happened for people that had the vaccine were way lesser of a risk or a hazard for me than to contract the vaccine or than to contract the virus.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, those are some very good points you spoke on because I, you know, it's key, like the education is key. You know, it's always that fear of the unknown. And that's what I said last week, you know, when I did the podcast last week where I was saying, you know, when this whole virus came about, everybody was scared. It was the fear of the unknown. But then as you started doing your own research and, you know, finding out more information, then you, you know, you became a little bit more comfortable. And I think this is going to have to be the same thing along with this vaccinations. And like you pointed out that you have like, you know, those underlying medical conditions. So when I had, I contracted it in May and I literally thought like, wow, like I was going to die from this just because it was, I had like every symptom and I could not breathe. You know, I was, my heart rates was in the 130. So it was very overwhelming. You know, so I definitely am still deciding on this vaccination. I'm leaning toward the yes because I have a large family with a lot of underlying conditions also. And, you know, I'm pretty much the one that's in the medical field heavy. And, you know, so in order for me to protect them, I need to be as protected as possible. You know, but, you know, my thing was, you know, the news are just saying how there's a, like a lot of African Americans that just really don't want to take this vaccination. Have you had any, like any of your coworkers, anything that's African American that has taken this vaccination?
Where I'm working, I do not. We haven't really, let's see, I'm trying to think right off the top of my head. In my immediate medical unit, we have not had any that would take the vaccine. We actually, but we have a lot of Caucasian staff members who also will not. But yeah, so I, you know, it's a lot of fear of the unknown, and I totally understand that. It's scary. All of this is frightening. So like, I don't ever want to minimize people's decision, and I don't want to minimize like their fear and their anxiety about this, because again, you know, this isn't anything we've ever seen, you know? And, to know though, you know, my husband is African American. And so like, I understand, we've had many conversations where he's expressed to me that, you know, hey, listen, like, we've seen this before. We're not out here to get experimented on, you know, about Tuskegee. I'm like, yes, I do. So like, I totally get it. It's very hard to trust, a system that has let you down before. So, you know, my big thing for this is just like, you individually have to kind of look at your own comfort with it, your own risk with it. And really, I feel like I have, like, in personal conversations with people of every ethnicity, I've said, listen, so if you're on the fence, continue your precautions, don't let them up, and just pay attention to what does happen to people who have chosen to have the vaccine. So I've chosen to make sure, and like on my own social media, post updates like, hey, so I got my vaccine at this time on this day, you know, just for clarity, you know, like here's my photo of my card. And, you know, I really did get this vaccine. Here's my Band-Aid, you know, and I will update you on anything that happens, and I will be very transparent. And so I did that during, you know, the days following my injection. I got it last Thursday. I was able to work that evening. I had one episode at about 6 hours in where I just kind of got covered in sweat, like real fast. And I was like, ooh, what is this? And then I took my temperature, cause I was like, gosh, do I have a fever? And I didn't, I just all of a sudden got sweaty. And then about an hour after that, my nose was very runny, as if somebody turned a faucet on. I was like, okay, what's this? And then I was like, okay, but wait a minute though. Stop yourself. Do not panic and think about this. Here's your body trying to build an immunity. It's already detected, you know, the invader, and it's trying to knock it out. Just relax. So I did. That immediately subsided. Like within an hour, it all stopped. And I was like, oh, okay, good. I feel fine. Don't think about it. Just keep moving. The next day, my injection site was like sore. It felt like somebody like punched me with their knuckle, you know? But like at the time of the injection, it didn't hurt at all. Like I barely felt it. I was like, wow, that was less than my flu shot. That's crazy. But it is only 0.3 mLs of fluid that's injected. So it's not a large injection. And again, it doesn't have all those other chemicals that are used in a lot of vaccinations to keep them stable. So I barely felt it. But the next day, felt like somebody punched me in the arm, and I was like, ugh, but that's just about what it feels like every year when I get my flu shot. My throat felt a little dry and scratchy. That night, when I was about 36 hours in, when I was asleep, like in the middle of the night, I started coughing. For me, that's not necessarily unusual because I am asthmatic, but it didn't, I wasn't wheezy, because like I'm half awake. I'm like, okay, system check, what are you doing? And I wasn't wheezy. My lungs were completely clear, but a dry, hacky cough. And I realized I had some post-nasal drip, and my throat was sore. I woke up, took a couple of ibuprofen, had a glass of water, kind of stretched out, went back to bed. And when I woke up in the morning, it was completely gone. And that was the last of my symptoms from this shot.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. You know, they did, the Pfizer did say that the side effects were, very minimal. So that's, you know, that's good.
Right. Right.
And so you're scheduled for your second dose, you said, in January?
Yep. January 7th, I'm scheduled for my second one.
Okay. And so is that like an automatic, like you get it back at your facility? And
yes, I've already had it scheduled. They want to make sure that we right away go ahead and get our scheduled time, like so that they can make sure that they have it prepared.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. That's good. Cause that's what I was, that was my only concern, just making sure that they have that second dose on hand, you know, right, to make sure it's available for everybody who got the initial dose.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's good. And, you know, guys, Kim and I are by no means any experts in this these vaccinations. We're merely just two people trying to find out information, and then just to continue to spread awareness about the virus and the vaccinations, and you know, as much information as we can provide you guys with from layman people. You know, sometimes the information that is put out is just so technical that you can't even really understand it. But, you know, you just really have to do your research and come up with the best answer for yourself and your family. Because remember, anything that happens to you not only affects you, but it affects the people around you. So if even if you decide to go out and be reckless and not wearing your mask and not social distancing, what, you know, if you was to contract the virus, it affects everybody around you, you know? So even if you don't get the vaccinations, you still need to be mindful of your environment, you know, so that we can still try to limit the spread as much as we possibly can, you know, so that we can kind of get back to normal, if there's any such thing as normal anymore.
Yeah. And if it's okay for me to interject, you know, I know that this whole experience has been so terrible for so many people, everybody, and, you know, not just our, an impact on like our social lives, it affects our financials. It's affecting our mental health. It's affecting everything. You know, so many things have just completely changed. And I know that, you know, we really are all longing for a sense of normalcy, but I just want to caution, like, as someone who's doing this every day that I work, you know, 40 hours a week and then some, I can tell you, you know, people were like, oh, I don't know if I believe it. Please believe it, because it will believe it. It will absolutely believe in you and care less if you believe it. I know that, you know, people really pushed back against Thanksgiving. And I know plenty of people who had big Thanksgiving meals, people outside of their home, outside of their little bubble of like, you know, who you live with that you're going to be exposed to every day anyway. And people contracted COVID. There's a family that we've taken care of, like literally every single person that attended dinner got COVID because one person had it. So their outcomes were all different. A lot of them are not good. So we look ahead at, you know, a lot of people get together for like Christmas, people get together for Kwanzaa, they get together for Hanukkah, they get together for New Year's, you know, Solstice, whatever it is that you observe, or even just because, boy, it's cold out here, it's winter, it's gloomy, and I just want to be around some people. I just really want to caution you to really rethink that. It's really not even just you that you have to think about, because, you know, you might think, oh, I'm great, you know, whatever, or even, oh, well, I had it already. Listen, you can still spread it. You could still be part of a super spreader event, and it's not just you, it's the people around you who may not fare as well. And it's really the impact on the healthcare industry as well. So, you know, we are working in ways that we would never have dreamed, you know? So like things like reusing PPE, like I swear my nursing school instructors would have cracked me in the head.
Absolutely.
If I thought
about it, absolutely.
You know? And I'm out here I'm out here reusing my N95 for 8 facing hours. So like if I go in your room and you have COVID and I've been in there for 20 minutes, that's 20 minutes on my mask. I have to wear it for a total of 8 hours before I can take it off and put it in a bag and send it to be processed, and then have a backup to be using until the process sends back. And then I have to do that process 3 times with the same mask. So like, this is stuff I never would have dreamed of, like reusing masks, the chemicals that are probably in there that I'm inhaling, the staffing ratios that are just through the roof because we've got more people than we ever had before hospitalized. And you can't just pull nurses out of thin air. You can't pull patient techs and care aides and certified nursing aides. You can't pull them out of nowhere. We were already raised short in Pennsylvania. You know, we were already working maybe a little bit, you know how it is with staffing. It happens. People get sick, and then that's the thing, you know? So if you're thinking about gathering with people, you know, outside of your home, over the holidays, over the winter, over it all, really, until we get through this, just please think about it. It's probably the worst thing you can do, because you might feel fine today and then you were okay. In fact, you might even test negative today because you're thinking about getting together with people, but you could be asymptomatic and have a false negative. Now, 5, 10 days later, you're sick and everyone else is sick. And that's exactly how this thing is working. It's the weirdest virus. Like, it's not like things we've seen before. And it's so frustrating, you know, because like my mother has COPD. I haven't seen her in so long. And I want to hug my mom too, you know, but I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
So, you know, just, you know, we have to really think of our everyday actions. You know, really think about your risks, not just to yourself, but to everyone else in the community and how that makes an impact. And just try and be patient, you know, look at what's available for you for your own protection, up to and including the vaccine, you know, your personal protective equipment, wearing a mask in public, washing your hands frequently, taking care of your body as best as you can, so that if you do get sick, that your body's at its best optimal, you know, performance to be able to fight something off. You know, those are the best things we can do until we can get a handle on this.
Absolutely. And I'm hoping we can, you know, now that the vaccinations have started, I'm hoping that, you know, at least by like summertime.
It would be nice. I know I was advised that even after my second shot, that they are telling people you still need to wear a mask, because what they haven't determined yet, because again, yeah, it's been a short period of time. They're not able to say with enough certainty that if you are vaccinated and you wouldn't necessarily contract the virus, that you cannot spread it if you were in contact with it to someone who isn't immune. So if you are around someone who's not vaccinated, and, you know, then you somehow are able to, you know, transfer this virus, it might not make you sick because you've had your vaccine, but you could give it to someone else. So the idea is enough people have to have had their vaccination to where, you know, it's enough people that we're not really spreading it like we are right
and
now.
And I think that's the goal. The goal, you know, is always to, you know, prevent. You know, it's just, like I said, you know, people's behaviors, you know, go a long way. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, put in the hard work now so that, you know, come summertime next year, hopefully.
I'm hoping so much. Sometimes I sometimes feel like, you know, when you were in grade school and there was those kids that just wouldn't stop talking and then everybody lost their
exactly. And, you know,
this is how I feel right now. And I'm like, wait, but I wasn't talking.
And that's what I said. It's like, and like you spoke about, in a few weeks, I'll be talking about the mental health aspects of it because of the increase in the depression that's going on with the, you know, since this virus has hit. And now, of course, in the wintertime, the increases also goes up, you know, because there's no sun. You know, so I'll be talking about that here in a few weeks or whatever. But, you know, I think the mental health issue is, you know, needs to be addressed. It has to be a focal point, because, you know, you could be physically okay, but the mental aspect, you know, the mind and the body, it goes together. So we definitely have to take care of the mental side of us also. You know, I'm just, like I said, I'm just ready for all this to be over with. But I am so glad you shared your experience with us with, you know, the vaccination, and, you know, I wish you stay well. I hope you come back after your second vaccination so we can hear about it and hear how you're doing and everything.
Sure.
It was definitely a pleasure. So guys, this is a wrap up for us. Again, we are not experts on any of the vaccinations. We're just merely two healthcare workers trying to, you know, gain insight and share some experience on what we have, you know, been through with me having the virus and Kim actually getting the vaccination. So, you know, we're just trying to figure this out like everyone else. But, you know, thank you so much for joining us. Please come back with us next week as we will be talking more on Corona. All right, Kim, thank you so much, guys.
Oh, thank
you're
for
welcome.
Having
you
me.
Be well. Thanks. Bye-bye.
You too.